Hello there, friends.
Merry Christmas!
Hello there, friends, and welcome back to another episode of Football Manager Therapy. I am your host, Rich Owens, and I have smashed the intro at the first time of asking. Joining me this morning, we have the full FM team. It's my Christmas present to you. We have the United City FM Kev. We have Y Callum, and we have Jebaru. They're all covering their faces for reasons I'm just not going to explain. Kev, how are you this morning, pal? And how long's that been playing up for? Mm-hmm. And you're using the cream every day? Good. Good. Welcome to podcast, everybody. It's a completely normal one. Kev, it's a pleasure to have you here. Callum, hello, mate. How are you this morning?
I can't commit to the bit. It's too
You can do it, Callum. You can do it.
Oh, I'm very warm all of a sudden. I have not got jingle bells on my face, but who has, I suppose, is the real question. Merry Christmas, everyone. I hope you're all well.
Merry Christmas, mate. Merry Christmas. Yeah, one member of the team has baubles in their beard. It's not Callum. It's not me. It might be Kev.
It's
not Kev. Oh, my goodness. For the benefit of the audio listeners, he's done a reveal. Jeb, there's Jeb. He's got jingly chops. Oh, yeah, Jeb, how are you this morning, pal?
I've got jingly chops.
I've got jingly chops.
Jingle Jeb.
I guess, yeah. Well, I might need that cream by the Zantings, Kev, if you like a borrow that. I've got jingly chops.
By all means, I'm not using it.
I don't, yeah, exactly. I'm okay. I'm good. These were a secret Santa gift, and I get them as a secret Santa gift pretty much every year. It's like, oh, he's got a beard. I'll buy some beard baubles. But these ones are actually all right. These aren't ones that fall apart or anything. Sorry, Callum's just leaving.
The audio listeners wouldn't have known. I'm trying to get back in focus.
Just put a load of baubles on your face, mate. You'll be absolutely fine. Now, Jeb, there is a solution to you receiving that gift every year for Christmas, but you're not going to like it.
Yeah, it's not going to happen, is it? Come on.
It's part of the brand. Just say just to people's faces, stop buying me things to put to my beard.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what we need to do.
I was going to go for the more extreme of don't have any friends. Refuse to be Secret Santa.
Yeah, exactly. Everyone's just letting you down. Everyone's a comedian, aren't they? Everyone's dead funny. Oh, I tell you what, though, lads, first of all, it's lovely to have everybody here. It's been a hot minute since all four of us have been able to make a podcast. So this is just a really, really nice moment. I told you, Everett, this is my Christmas gift to you, the audience. It's just everybody here at the same time. Then imagine if I click loads more buttons and Alice and Matt and Tony all came in, but I'm not going to because they're not here.
Everyone's disappointed, Rich.
Yeah.
Goodness. They were happy before and now you've made it worse.
Now they know what they could have won. Yeah.
Exactly. They've had a little look behind the curtain. You know, they've ruined the bonus prize on Bullseye. What a shame. What a massive shame for everybody. But look, lads, we are here. We're going to record a podcast, the four of us. And boy, oh boy, have we got a podcast for you. Yeah, we do. We have a podcast. We do. I set the lads a little bit of homework this week because I thought, what with it being Christmas, what with Christmas coming up, it would be very, very on brand of us to do something that completely disregards the Christmas period. So if we just completely ignore the time of year and just do something a little bit silly instead, I think that kind of fits the brand, fits us generally as people, apart from Jeb, who looks very, very serious with his bauble face. There he is. That's how Jeb's going to be communicating today. If he jingles his bells, jingle once for yes, twice for no. That's the move, I think. That's how we'll get through this. It's going to make it hard for him to describe his portion of the podcast, but we'll adapt and overcome. What I've done for the lads this week, because it's been a little while since we've done anything particularly silly, so I thought we'd readdress the balance. What I've asked for everybody this week, I set everybody a bit of homework because we've all been streaming a lot recently. We've all been doing some streams. And there's one thing that's happened to me quite a lot recently in my streams. I've been involved in quite a number of penalty shootouts recently. And my penalty shootouts don't always go brilliantly on Football Manager. And you could make the compelling argument that that is my fault because I pick the team and I sign the players. And
Jeb really agrees with that.
Yeah, Jeb, that's lots of shakes the bell. That Jeb just means mega yes. He's like, oh, he's definitely agrees with what I've got to say. So what I thought to myself is, well, if reality wasn't a restriction in terms of picking my penalty takers, who would I have if I could send, if I could put together the perfect penalty taking task force? Who would it be? And then I asked that question to Jeb and to Callum and to Kev, and I've asked them to come up with their own lists as well. So between us, what we're going to do this week is we're going to reel off our ultimate penalty taking five. The rules and regulations were basically pick anybody. It can be real players. It can be players that we've managed on FM. That includes, obviously, new gens from previous saves. If there's a player that's, you know, created by the game that you think, yes, I want them in all of my penalties forever, they are allowed. And I've also, very much like when we did our Ledley Kingsley episode, I've allowed for one wild card penalty taker. So that can be anybody from history ever. Ideally alive. I have checked mine twice today to make sure mine is still alive. And at the time of recording, they still are. I have got one eye on Twitter just in case. And, you know, if they do pass away in the next hour or so, I will shout it out. But until then, fingers crossed, everything is okay. We're going to take it in turns. And then at the end of the episode, what we're going to do is we're going to put it to you, a vote for the people, a Christmas vote, Christmas democracy. We'll put it on Twitter. You guys can vote for who you think has picked the best penalty taking task force. And then that person wins nothing. Literally, there is no prize. There is no prize. Just a sense of moral superiority for a week or so, which has no cash value. So soz, lads. If I was a better host, I've arranged a Christmas prize, but I didn't and I haven't. So my bad.
Kudos is all we need.
It's all you, and, well, and by goodness, it's all you'll get.
Fair enough.
Speak for yourself, Kev.
Yeah. I just did. He did. And it was a Christmas lie as well, to be honest. I want cash.
A Christmas lie!
The worst kind of lie. No!
It's just the way it is.
Oh, the children will weep. I'll tell you what then, Kev. If you're going to be a big Christmas liar,
go on.
You can counteract that by doing a big Christmas truth. Your five penalty takers, Kev, who is your first penalty taker? Who have you got?
Whew. Okay, so my first penalty taker is somebody that I've used primarily in FM draft competitions. And even more specifically than that was the catalyst to me winning the Winter Cup a couple of winters ago on one of our FM draft cup competitions that goes around the community. So I was playing in a 4-3-1-2 formation. And it was my one. It was my attacking central midfielder. And it's the reason that I love him so much. And he was playing shadow striker for me at the time, Pedro Goncalves. If you followed anything of the playoffs and myself as a panelist on the playoffs, I love Pedro Goncalves. And he absolutely starred in that show for me on the Winter Cup. I went on a run, won the tournament, and had about three or four players sent off in three or four different games during that run, and somehow we kept on winning anyway. And it was a lot of it was to do with that shadow striker role and Pedro Goncalves. If you've never played him in the shadow striker role, go and have a look at his attributes. He's phenomenal. It is why I love him, and he is my first choice because he's lethal. So there you go. Pedro Goncalves, number one.
See, I like it. You can't argue with it. I mean, I've got him in the FMT network game and I just can't get a song out of him. So maybe I need a shadow striker in my formation. If I change everything, put Pedro Goncalves as a shadow striker and then he gets injured and then I start losing loads of games, I'll be furious.
Maybe stop asking him to sing and get him to play football. You
know? No.
Is this the same problems like the real in life Man United have as well? That's all Eric Ten Hag is doing. Marcus Rashford's really good at Mariah Carey's All I Want for Christmas Is You, but he's just terrible at football.
It's all about balance. It's all about balance. I want to see Marcus Rashford singing All I Want for Christmas now. Ideally dressed like Mariah in the video, but that's just for a little treat for me. That's just what I'm into. I know. Aren't we discovering a lot about each other as people today? Jeb, who would you like as your first penalty taker, pal?
I was saving him till later, but I'm going to bring him up now. I met this gentleman above me, the United City FM, in that Winter Cup, in the group stage. It was the first time I'd taken part in any PvP, and we played each other in the first game. And my penalty taker is Wout Weghorst. Wout Weghorst got two goals in the first half, and we got a penalty just before halftime, so I think it would have put me 3-1 up against Kev. And we got a penalty, and my penalty taker didn't take it. Wout Weghorst went, I want to get a hat-trick, I want to get a hat-trick, and ran over and took it. He missed. So now he's got to prove himself to me more than anything. More than anything else, he's got to prove himself to me and score that penalty, because honestly, that was it. That was the end of the tournament for me from there, because Kev went on to smash it with aforementioned Pedro Goncalves. So yeah, Wout Weghorst. Yeah, he's big, Dutch, not very good for Man United. Or Burnley. All right for the Netherlands, but yeah, I think he's going to be my choice for that penalty taker. Yeah, he's for that first penalty taker, because we can recover if he misses, I guess, but still. Mm-hmm. Actually, looking down the list, maybe not. Right, we'll see. We'll see.
It's a bold tactic, picking somebody who has a 0% conversion penalty, you know, ratio for you in PvP. As first up, you know, you could have picked somebody who was good, but you haven't, and I respect that. That's a bold choice. Callum, have you got an awful penalty taker, or are you going to break convention and go for somebody who's actually good at them?
Well, I'd like to preface this with, I don't like penalties on Football Manager. I have not got a good experience at all. Like, whoever it is, if I've got a good penalty taker, if I've got a bad penalty taker, all of them seem to miss at some point. There's no consistency there at all. Like, I don't like, you know, in real life, if your team gets a penalty, you're pretty much, you're banking on scoring, aren't you? In FM, it's not like that at all. I almost bank, like, free kicks on the edge are more likely to go in than penalties at some point. However, I have got a list of people. And my first one is from a save I did offline with Blythe Spartans. I know, offline, can you believe it? And it was, I believe, in FM 20 when I was training to be a teacher. And so I think of it very fondly, because it was like teacher training in the day, Blythe Spartans manager by night. And there was this striker called Bradley Fewster, who is a bit of a non-league legend. He went here, there, and everywhere in non-league. However, I signed him in the Vanarama North, and he went all the way to the championship with me. He was incredible. You very rarely have a striker, because strikers seem to, you know, you have to replace them every time you sort of go up, usually. A striker who just stayed with me the entire way through. I couldn't get out of the championship, but that's a different story. pretty similar to Slough, really. But Bradley Fewster is my first pick, because he was just incredible. Blythe's all-time top goal scorer. And what I love about him was, the next season in real life, Blythe signed him. I thought, what is going on? I'm living a real life through Football Manager. So yeah, my first choice is Bradley Fewster.
See, I love that. Again, a journey, somebody that stays with the club despite your success. It's really weird to say despite success, isn't it?
It's true.
Yeah, it is. I love that. And again, just a club that sign a player from FM in real life, because you just feel like, yes, I knew this was going to happen. Yep. I knew this was going to happen. You had no idea. You didn't know, but it felt like you did. Mm-hmm. See that? I love that. See, I've gone old school with mine. I've gone for a name from, not quite yesteryear, but it feels like a really, really, really long time ago. My first penalty taker is arguably, I think, one of the best to ever do it. And somebody that, if you go back to even like your FM9, FM10, he was an elder statesman of the game back then, but he played on, had one season, I think, in the top flight, and gave a great account of himself. My first penalty taker is Graham Alexander. Because there was nothing I enjoy more than watching a Graham Alexander penalty. Because there was no, finesse isn't a word that's in that man's vocabulary. In terms of his penalty strategy, it was just twat it as hard as you can with your left foot and just watch the goalkeeper cry. It was phenomenal. Sometimes it looked like he was trying to hit it with like the outside of his boot as he ran up as fast as he physically. I think the fastest he ever ran was when he was on the run up to take a penalty. I don't think he could actually reach a speed higher than that from open play. But sometimes it looked like he tried to hit it with the outside of his boot, but it actually looked like he just toe punted it and it still flew in top bins every single time. I think if you are putting together a penalty taking kind of ultimate five, if you put Graham Alexander up first, you've just automatically won the psychological battle with the opposition goalkeeper straight away. Because I think in his entire career, I think he only actually missed three or four penalties and he took nearly 50. So a very, very high conversion rate. Big, angry man who's just going to steamroll towards you and absolutely clatter it at you. That is, it's just peak playground football. And I love it. And he got to do it professionally as well. It's the absolute dream, isn't it? And then probably not run around very much for the following 85 minutes and just shout at people. Not as good as managing as he was at taking penalties, as it turns out, but still got a lot of time for Graham Alexander, which is why he is number one in my list. Look him up. Just after you've watched this podcast, look up Graham Alexander penalty compilations on YouTube. And it's just a really, really angry man kicking a ball very hard. What's not to like? That's my football. That's my football. Kev.
Yes.
You're number two, mate. Pedro Goncalves has clearly scored his first penalty.
Clearly.
Who's reinforcing the advantage for you from the number two spot?
So next up, there's a guy that I bought into one of my Scandinavian sides when I was doing my Scandinavian glory hunter a couple of FMs ago. And the reason that he's special to me is, one, it cost me nothing because I found him on a free transfer. And two, I rescued him from Chelsea because he'd been in the Chelsea squad for three seasons, had played two games for them, and I found him in the reserves. They just weren't using him. And three, he was just a bit good. And Lorenzo Luca came into my Scandi save and dominated the league that I was in. I was playing a target forward alongside a smaller guy at the time as well. So he fit into that setup also. But he was just great. He worked really well for me, scored a few goals, I think travelled with me to a couple of clubs around my journey as well. But I found him on a free transfer. And yeah, Chelsea tried to ruin him and I rescued him and he'd get a penalty. No problem for me, I'm sure. So Lorenzo Luca, number two.
That's not a bad second, is it? It's not a bad second. I really like it the way you've, like, you know, you've described Lorenzo Luca as essentially as like you've picked him up from like Battersea Dogs Home.
Yep.
Like he was just really, really old and tired.
Look, I adopted him in. I fed him well. I gave him a lot of grass to run around on and he repaid me.
You absolutely did. And again, all things ironically you could do if you were training professional footballer as well. How long did it take to house train him though? That's my question.
Still ongoing.
Yeah, you'll get that.
That's the thing.
I might get him back in the network save soon and we'll continue to try.
He'll bag you 25 a season, but you have to put a lot of newspaper down for him. That's the only problem. He's a bit of a nightmare in that respect. See, I like that though. I like that as well. Big, imposing, like big lad, good penalties. Everyone likes Lorenzo Luca. If you've played FM in the last 3 years, you have at some point managed Lorenzo Luca. He's dead good. And he's still really cheap as well, isn't he? Like he still only costs like about £4 or 5 million even now. So go and sign him. Start a save now. Go sign Lorenzo Luca and just let him score loads of goals for you. Right, Jeb. Wout Weghorst has missed his first penalty.
No, he's not. He's scored it.
No, he's scored it.
He scored it.
Based on what?
Scored it. He scored it.
Okay, Wout Weghorst might have scored.
My management of my basically motivating technique using my words. See?
Yes.
Good. See, got him, see? You go score now. Fix the problem from 2 years ago. Do it. There you go. He scored. Smashed in. So.
Perfect.
Next up, we're going to Argentina. We're going to many, many years ago. We're going to somebody who missed three penalties in one game. Oh, there's been an incident on the sideline. He's been double-footed tackled. Martin Palermo was going to be my next penalty taker because he was phenomenal in Football Manager, but he did miss three. But he's been double-footed tackled by a friend of mine and yours, Kev. Big Rom. Big Rom's taken a penalty. He does not miss. Romelu Lukaku is taking the next penalty. He is taking it. He is phenomenal at penalties. He scored every single one for me when in my Chelsea, broken Chelsea at the start of the season. He's just the best, isn't he? Big Rom. Big Rom stepping up.
Big. and he will score.
As an Evertonian, that hurts me so much because he missed a penalty in the FA Cup semi-final, and like,
yeah, that's because he was playing for Everton. You'd never be confident playing for Everton.
No, go on, it's Christmas.
I'm not going to do a Christmas lie. I'm not going to do a Christmas.
See, I dispute that one. I think that's a terrible choice.
I think that's really poor.
You win the penalty. He starts the run up, but by the time he's got halfway to the ball, he's transferred to a new club, so we'll never get to take the penalty. You know,
James missed his first two. It's unbelievable.
We didn't sell him, so it's fine.
No, absolutely.
Wow, well, it's really interesting. Isn't it really interesting? I mean, most people's FM24 saves. If you look at the Chelsea squad, Lukaku is very not there, but Osimhen very is. Mm. Weird that.
Mm. Really, it's not really necessary. Weird. Why waste all of that money?
Exactly.
On a younger, better footballer. God, it's weird, isn't it? Football is weird. How are you doing so well in the network save, Kev? It baffles me.
I won the broken Chelsea save as well. Thank you.
You also won the broken Chelsea save. Yeah, that's...
Romelu Lukaku was the highest goal scorer in any of our saves with me, you know, so...
I mean, I didn't complete my season, so I think Osimhen was on course to score 47 goals, and I was going to win the league. So
you might not have completed the season, Callum, but because I won it, your daughter has now got Big Rom as her middle name.
That is true.
So I wish it was a Big Rom.
I wish it was.
I've seen the birth certificate. Yeah. It's very long. Mm-hmm. Very, really very, long. Very long. Yeah, it's when they raise that, it's when you say that, it's when you give the name and they say, "Are you sure?" And that's where you know. That's where you know you've done it right. Oh, I got actually, in fairness, when we registered my son's birth, because my son's middle name is Danger, because I'm dead cool. Well, didn't even raise an eyebrow. She went, right, first name Seth, middle name Danger, and she went, spelled the traditional way. I was like, yes.
No, actually, no.
No, there's
an accent above the E. It's Danger.
It's Danger. There's actually two G's in it because of my old Twitch name, actually. Thank you very much. God, why did it take me like a year to change it? I regret so much. I regret so much. Right, so Jeb's missed his first two penalties. Callum...
I'm going to go down the real player route. I've mentioned Everton, and for me, there is no better penalty taker than Leighton Baines. I think Leighton Baines is such an exceptional penalty taker. What I loved about him was he spoke on the record quite a lot about he always let his son choose where he was going to go next. So before a game, he said, "Right, if I win a penalty, where am I going?" And there's a couple where he's like, "I really don't want to go there, son, but you've told me, so I am going to." So like, there's a couple down the middle he put, and he did not want to put them down the middle. But he was the sort of penalty taker who could rifle it into the top corner, but then also casually place it in the bottom. And I think he was really, really excellent from the spot. And I think if I was going to bet my house on someone putting the ball away, it would be Leighton Baines.
Is that a bet you're willing to make now on podcast?
Well, I mean, considering he's now retired from professional football, yes. Yes, I am. I think I should be safe.
You're so brave. Brave boy.
Well, if we go live to my back garden, I've got a goal. I've got Leighton Baines.
What are you doing here?
What are you doing on podcast? That's weird. Leighton Baines is a good shout. See, when you said he let his son choose where he went, for some reason in my head I thought you meant career wise. Dad, you play for Everton now. I was like, oh, okay. I didn't realize that Leighton Baines' son was Bill Kenwright, but sure, yeah, all the transfer policies. It was ever so weird. Really weird dynamic at home. Yeah. Really weird dynamic at home. Tried to give a 60-year-old man a bedtime. Very weird. So I like Leighton Baines. I think Leighton Baines is one of those just. I want to say underrated, just like underrated career. Like I think he would have done a job at most Premier League teams at left back. I think Leighton Baines was fantastic, and I could talk
to you for ages about him. He's my favourite footballer ever. I love him.
Ever? That's a bold statement.
I know. Yeah.
Or Tony Hibbert. Unbelievable.
Tony Hibbert, similar. Yeah.
Very, very, very similar. hell of a player. Tony Hibbert. I remember watching Tony Hibbert in a season opener against Manchester United. Suskev. And it was, I think it was one of Moyes' last seasons at Everton, and Tony Hibbert was man of the match. He was just phenomenal. Absolutely. Hibbert and Fellaini, just the two of them, were just absolutely incredible that game.
Talking about penalties and Hibbert, actually, it was quite funny though. He retired from football and then continued to play in like a Sunday league in Liverpool. And it was quite well renowned that his team got to a cup final and he missed the penalty in the penalty shootout for them to lose. So I love the fact that the ex pro has stepped up. I'll have this, lads. Don't you worry. And then he missed. Yeah. Good old Tone.
Classic Hibbert. Classic.
Forever failure.
I mean, Jeb, it's Christmas. Please, just one pod. Just let me have it. Just one pod.
Hold on. I'll let Tony a bit have anything.
No. Oh, it never ends. It's a never-ending battle. And I love it. I absolutely love it. Right. Speaking of never-ending battles, my penalty takers, it's less a penalty taking five. It's more psychological warfare against the opposition goalkeeper. My second penalty taker is one that I've managed thanks to the Mad Scientist last year with one of Mad's retro databases. Because I spent a little bit of time in Italy in the late 1990s on FM 23. And I had the privilege of spending a bit of time managing a very, very young, but nonetheless exceptionally good at penalties, Andrea Pirlo. So penalty taker number one is Graham Alexander, and he's probably going to take the net off. Penalty taker number two is one of the best penalty takers ever. And you know he's going to dink it down the middle. You know he's going to dink it down the middle. But there's also the possibility he might not. So you have to dive, because if you just stand there and he just rolls it into the bottom left-hand corner, you're going to look like a silly sausage. But alternatively, he might go corner. So you've got to go corner. And then when he clips it down the middle and you're diving and you're just looking back at the ball going in, just going, yeah. Like it's equally as awkward for you. So I think he is the perfect antidote to a Graham Alexander first penalty. Andrea Pirlo is guaranteed to score. He didn't miss. There's no footage available of him missing penalties. Even if he ever did, I dispute it. I don't think it existed. So plus, he was also dead handsome and didn't take football very seriously, which is even better. There's that chapter in his autobiography where he's talking about like a Champions League final. And he's like, you know, all the other players were like, you know, they were watching videotapes and, you know, they were going through tactical stuff with the coaches. I just sat in the hotel and played my PlayStation. I had a great time. I love that. Absolutely love that. What a man. What a player. What a beard. What a right foot. What a man. I wish I was Andrea Pirlo. I'm not, and I never will be. But he's in my penalty taking five. He's number two. And of course, he scored. Kev.
Yes.
Number three. So we've gone Pedro Goncalves, Lorenzo Luca.
Yes.
Who's next?
We are going new gen for number three. Mm-hmm. And it's a story that I've told in a number of places, and I've probably told it here. But we are going for my huge underpants. Huge underpants. Good old Hugh. He was a renamed new gen. It was a thing that we do on my channel. Given a certain amount of channel points, you can rename a new gen. And somebody renamed him Hugh Underpants. He was a young striker in and around my Scandinavian save. And he did okay. You know, he started okay. He was getting a few goals. But because of the name change and all that stuff, he became a bit of a favourite quite early for a lot of people to follow. So I was sitting there on a random weekday afternoon before my next stream and decided that he deserved his own emote in my channel. So I found this picture of a pair of underpants, and I put Hugh and then Junderpants either side of it and created an emote and put it on my stream, and then was looking at it and thought, quite like that. That's quite an interesting design. It looks quite good. I'll chuck it on some stuff for my merch store as well, because if he's that much of a fan favorite, maybe somebody will buy a bit of merch with huge underpants on it. So I did that. And so the next day we went back on stream, loaded up the save, started playing. And in the first game of the afternoon, huge underpants, who's now got his own emote in my chat and has got merch on my merch store, got injured and was out for 7 months because he broke his leg. Now, he came back after the break And it was, you know, it was 7 months. He was basically out for the next 2 weeks of streams or whatever it was, having been given an emote and merch on my store, which I'm never doing again to an individual player, I must say. And he came back. He was brilliant. He was so good. He played a couple of different clubs for me again and just set himself on fire and was scoring all over the place and was really fantastic. And loads of people loved him. So he becomes my third penalty taker. And I'm sure his right leg won't crumble at all underneath the weight of it all. So yeah, Hugh Junderpants.
What a legend. Legend of Kev Streams.
It was going to be my next pick. That's a bit awkward, isn't it?
And mine? I can't believe it.
Exactly.
We all had him on there.
He was so much of a fan favourite that every main series I do now, at some point, we rename Hugh Underpants. We've had Hugh Underpants, Hugh Underpants Jr. Next time round, it'll be Hugh Underpants the Third. So we'll do that in every main save that I do from here on in.
Fantastic. I really hope there is somebody listening to this podcast who is suddenly having the Paul Bearer moment that I had about 3 years ago. They're like, wait, Hugh Underpants. Oh my God, that's what, oh my God. Like, yeah, I definitely wasn't in my mid-30s before I realized that Paul Bearer, oh, it's because Funerals sat in my car, just head on the steering wheel for 10 minutes, meeping the horn at traffic lights.
Oh dear. Like,
go around him. Go around him. It's like, what's wrong with that man? He's just realized Paul Bearer's name was a pun. Oh, okay. Just, okay. Get that man a cup of tea. Somebody give him a cuddle. He'll be okay. Oh, Hugh Underpants. He's a legend. A legend of Kev Streams. And I think rightly takes his place in your penalty-taking five. Jeb, you've missed your first two penalties.
Have we?
who's missing the third?
Oh, is that how we go with this?
I mean, you've picked two stinkers, so
just give me a second. Yeah, cool. Got some facts for you, Benitez. Yeah. Probably Lukaku has taken 37 penalty takes so far in his career. Of these, Lukaku has scored 32 penalties. I was also at the same time doing exactly what Y Callum has done and looking up Andrea Pirlo's penalty record.
His record's so bad.
Yeah, because I remembered him missing one against Barcelona. I remember doing a Panenka and the keeper. I think it might have been Bayer. I don't know if it's Bayer or Victor Valdez just caught it. It was just like a terrible, terrible. Yeah, he missed 11 penalties and scored 27 in his career.
11 so misses?
Yeah, 11 misses. Because, yeah, but he's phenomenal. Never missed a penalty. I don't think he missed a penalty ever.
No. You miss every penalty you don't step up to take.
Is that what you're going to go for on that one?
That's what I'm going to go with.
That's where you're going on.
Yeah.
Oh, well. Never mind, you missed another one.
The man picks Wout Weghorst and Romelu Lukaku, and this is the hill he chooses to die on. This is quite incredible.
Exactly. Right, next up is, I haven't got any new gens for mine, but my next penalty taker is going back to FM 05 to 09, and it's Giampaolo Pizzini, who is an Italian striker. He's the first person to score a hat-trick at the new Wembley for Italy under-21s. He used to score me 30, 40 goals every single time I bought him on FM 05 to 09. A lot of them were penalties as well, a lot of headed goals, a lot of the corner exploits that were available in those games. I don't know what you're on about. he just played the ball to the outside of the box. He volleyed it in every single time because he had 20 on volleys as well. But yeah, he was unbelievably good. I even brought him back for, I think it was like FM20. I brought him back at Stoke. Sorry, I'm still laughing every time I talk and just hear a jingling noise. So festive, isn't it? But yeah, I brought him back there and he did score a couple of penalties for me there in the run to the FA Cup when we won the FA Cup in the Championship, which was quite. So yes, Giampaolo Pizzini is my next penalty taker. And obviously he's missing again because everyone's missing because it's all fixed and rigged.
It's not fixed in the slightest. It's just that, you know, you've just made some choices as well.
He actually slipped, unfortunately, for that one. He was going to put it top right and he fell and he hit it backwards. I don't know how it happens. What a fool.
Very weird. Very weird that he managed to do that. Very, very strange. I get it's a name. It's a name that rings a bell. It's definitely a name that rings a bell. Very much like your beard. So that's
good joke.
It's Jeb agreeing with me for the audio listeners. Just agreeing that that yeah, PLO actually never missed a penalty. So thank you. Thank you for confirming.
Pazzini, sorry, wait, 35 penalties scored, 4 missed, just so you know.
This is literally my Christmas Eve now. I have searched for many penalty takers. I've got a few facts to give you now, Rich.
Yeah.
Later base. 26 penalties scored, 3 missed. Actually more than I thought he would. Graham Alexander, your mm-hmm. choice. Mm-hmm. 4 penalties missed. 71 penalties scored. That is ridiculous. That is ridiculous. Mm-hmm. That is so good. And my next choice, I'm going to stick with him despite the fact he's missed 14 penalties. He has, however, scored 61. So it's a better ratio than Perlo's. It's a better ratio than Perlo's. And this is someone who I would argue maybe began to start my love of FM. It was back in FM 08. And don't get me wrong, I was playing games before this, but I started, funnily enough, similar to Jeb, a Stoke save. I started a Stoke save. I don't remember how I fell into Stoke. No one does usually. And I took over Stoke and I got one of those infamous tycoon buyouts. And I don't know how many I've had, but I remember this one really well. So it can't be many. And one of my first signings was Edinson Cavani, and he was absolutely sensational. I remember him scoring something like 40 to 50 goals in a season. He was unstoppable at that point. You're talking a young Edinson Cavani. He was just remarkable. And so because of that, and because I'm going sort of a blast from the past, I'm going to go with Cavani as my next penalty taker.
I mean, he's just really, really good at them, wasn't he? I think I'm right in saying that friend of the pod and streamer, Gub32, older Gavin Brash. I think that his Steam name is
Edinson Cavani.
As a result thereof, which I think is like, as somebody who enjoys a little bit of wordplay, I think that one resonated quite nicely with me. He was just dead good at penalties, wasn't he? Can't really ask for too much more there. Is he still playing? Is Cavani actually still an active footballer?
It says he's played for Boca Juniors from 2023. So yeah, I think so.
Because he went to Valencia, didn't he?
And then I think he only retired in that FM playoffs that time, mid playoffs, if I remember correctly. That's the only time he's retired that I'm aware of.
Just looked at the landscape of it and went, actually, no,
yeah.
I'm okay. I'm out. I don't want any of this. I can't be bothered. Actually, I like Cavani. I've got a lot of time for Edinson Cavani. I think he was a very, very, very good footballer. It took him about 4 years to become PSG's top goal scorer of all time ever. Admittedly, it's because they spent all the money in the world on players, but still, very, very, very good at penalties. I like that. I rate that pick very, very highly. Right, it's my turn. It's my turn. Right, penalty taker number 3 for me. Penalty taker number 3. I'm going to go for somebody who I've managed quite recently, as it turns out. Quite a recent love of mine. The man that won me the J-League. I'm going for Fabio Quagliarella. That's my number 3 pick. Again, the fact that he scored a load of goals for me in the J-League this year on FM. The fact that he was 41 when he did it didn't stop him, didn't slow him down. I'm waiting because I can see eyes looking in directions, waiting to get a screenshot in our Discord of a list of all the penalties that Fabio Quagliarella has missed.
41 scored, 8 missed.
41 scored, 8 missed. That is, as ratios go, apparently better than Perlo, so I'll take it. Two lovely, lovely bearded Italian men. When people say like the player taking the penalty's done the goalkeeper with his eyes. I think Quagliarella and Perlo could have impregnated the goalkeeper with his eyes. He was just a very, very, very handsome man, and very, very good at penalties as well, which is why he makes my my number three on my list. I think that's a great three because I'm definitely scoring all three.
They probably need to look into that eye condition with a doctor. That's all I'm saying. A medical professional. Yes.
No, he can't. That's the problem. He can't look into anything because, like, he just looks at the doctor. Boom, pregnant. Oh, no. It just he's a nightmare. Mm-hmm. He's an absolute menace. He has to wear really big sunglasses. They're like Roy Orbison everywhere he goes.
I couldn't remember the plot of Junior with Arnold Schwarzenegger, but is that how it works?
That's how it happens. Yeah. Danny DeVito is there, Arnold Schwarzenegger is there, Fabio Quagliarella walks past them, and then Arnie's like, "Oh no, I'm pregnant." That's what Schwarzenegger sounds like. And then DeVito's like, "No, Charlie,
I knew the pillow would get on."
The pillow is coming out. The pillow is coming out. For the audio listeners, I've got a pillow with Arnold Schwarzenegger's face on it. It's great. Love you, Danny. "Oh, no, Arnold, you're pregnant. Ah, get to the chopper." And then Quagliarella just off he goes and like scores loads of goals in Serie A. It's brilliant. If you've not watched it, brilliant film.
Has anyone got a segue we could use, Kev?
I don't think we need one.
I'm at a loss. I think Rich has just been eating too many chocolates for Christmas. He's just on a sugar rush or something. I don't know.
I've not had any Christmas chocolate yet.
That's a Christmas lie.
Oh no, it's the worst kind of lie as well. Right, there you go. Everything's fine at home. Why does everyone keep asking me, Kev?
Yes, mate.
Pedro Goncalves, Lorenzo Luca, huge underpants. Who have you got at number four? Because we're getting to the point now where we're going to have to start talking about goalkeepers and wild cards. So,
I've still got at least a couple more because I did my homework properly because I'm a good boy. What I can tell you is the next one on my list is an absolute sensation that everybody's going to know about and everybody's going to have used. Of course, Bartosz Cybulski.
Bartosz Cybulski.
Everybody knows about Bartosz Cybulski, but I'll tell you about him anyway, just because we're here. We might as well, you know, we're doing a podcast. So a couple of years ago on FM 21, 22, somewhere around there, I found Bartosz Cybulski in the under-18s of Derby County. And I believe he's still at Derby County now at the age of 20. But when you find him, he doesn't actually look that much. Other than I was in a lower level setup and I needed a target forward because I like my big man, little man combo. Bartosz Cybulski is 6'5". And at the age of 18, if I go and look at his stats, from FM22, at the age of 18, he had 12 pace at 6'5", not bad. He also had 16 jumping reach, 13 heading. He's got a bit of anticipation, bit of bravery, bit of composure, bit of off the ball. Great teamwork, great work rate. So there wasn't anything major about him. He's got lots of gaps there, but he was 18 and a big lad. So I bought him in. And over the course of the next three or four seasons, he just slowly developed. Never got an amazing attribute for his finishing, for example, but it was always all right. But he contributed so many goals because all of those attributes that start off at a reasonable level, you know, the composure, the bravery, the anticipation, the teamwork, bit of pace at 6'5", meant that he was lethal in the air, could also control the ball on his feet. And because he was one of those players where it doesn't actually happen to me too often, I kind of feel like I found this guy because nobody else has used him. Not really. I'm sure there'll be viewers out there that are all going to write in and say, "I've used him for the last four, whatever. Great, fine, brilliant. Welcome to my club and my team. That's amazing." But I feel like I kind of found him and he developed into something bigger and better than what he started at. So Bartosz Cybulski, you can't tell me whether he scored a bundle of penalties or not because he's played like four games for Derby County IRL, but I'm going for vibes, not facts, and he's in my team.
Vibes, not facts. See, there's the United City FM merch that we've been waiting for.
Yep.
Project and purpose, vibes and facts.
Vibes and facts.
Absolutely. See, can anybody prove Kev wrong?
He's literally cool. Never missed. He's never missed. Exactly. He's taken three penalties and he scored them all.
There you go.
Kev wins.
Vibes and facts. Great.
Vibes and, but why not combine the two? Facts. It works. It works beautifully.
No, it doesn't.
It doesn't at all, does it? It doesn't work. It doesn't work in the slightest. That was the worst thing I've heard. That was awful. I've let myself. I'm angry at myself after that one. Furious. I'm gonna have, after this week's podcast, I'm gonna take a little bit of time away just to reflect and grow based on that comment. And I'm sorry, everybody. I've let you all down. Speaking of being let down, Jeb, who's missing? No, you're gonna score one of these penalties eventually. It could be penalty taker number four. Who have we got?
So this is how my brain works, and it's much easier. Raul Jimenez was gonna be my next penalty taker because he's phenomenal. I had him at Wolves and things like that. But then Kev just said so many goals, and all I've got stuck in my head is the, we'll put a link to the clip. I'll find it. It was somebody rang up Talk Sport, and the pundit Mickey Quinn was on there, and a Newcastle fan rang him up. He goes, "Oh, Mickey's on." Oh, and he was like, "Oh, I used to love you, Mickey. You were my favourite. You scored so many goals," and he just like burst out crying. Just you scored so many goals for us. So I just had a quick look. I mean, now that me and Callum are fully into transfer market, looking up penalty goal scores, yeah. Mickey Quinn never missed a penalty. So Mickey Quinn and his little moustache, he was a bit of a larger gentleman back in the day, but he did score the first Premier League hat-trick, if I remember correctly. And also, he was a phenomenal finisher, and he was really good back in the old Chapman's to pick up in like a lower league, just because he basically has acceleration of 20, but pace of 2. So he's really good at just that 2-yard dash, and that's it. Yeah. So that's all he needs to do. 2-yard dash, smash it in the top corner. There's my fourth penalty scored.
So if they've said it once, they've said it 100 times, you don't give Mickey Quinn 2 yards.
Yeah.
Because he'll just be really fast in them, and then he'll just start walking. So,
but you do give him oxygen after the 2 yards.
You do.
But he scored so many goals.
See, that's so. Yeah. I really hope that TalkSport callers are listening to this week's podcast and just break down and start crying.
It is a very funny clip, but also very heartwarming as well. It's just like, oh, I love you. You're my favorite.
I love you, Mickey. Do you want to go back to my house and look at my room decorated with photos of you?
I don't think it was that bad. No, not that bad. All right, leave me alone. Leave me alone.
He's on podcast next week. He can defend himself then. There you go. Our guest booking strategy for 2024 is weird. Can't wait. Callum, your number four penalty taker. Who have we got?
I feel like number four is a really important penalty. When you're choosing your five, you've got to have someone who's dependable. This could be someone who's taking the penalty to win it. You know, if it's going to, you know, people always think number five. But I think number four is the one. And because of that, I have chosen someone who is not on transfer market, that you can't check their stats. It's someone from the FM community I have selected in number four. And this is a person, I tried to organize a game this year with a lot of the FM community. And one person in particular really, really talked up his set pieces. He said he was a magnificent corner taker, put him on all corners. He said in his heyday, he could whip in a free kick into the top corner. He said not throw-ins, which is fine. But I would have put him high on the list of penalties. This man, I can imagine, he's like the Andrea Pirlo of the FM community. He's cultured. He's wonderful. And his name is Tony Jameson. He's my number four penalty taker.
Wow. That's an approach. Mm-hmm. That's absolutely an approach. A man who, I believe Tony's direct quote regarding himself was, not a great goal scorer, but a scorer of great goals. Is it possible to score a great penalty?
Yes. Yes, it is.
Just yes. Yep. Yes, it is. I think there's only one way to find out, isn't there? Wow. Okay, that has come out of left field.
Didn't see that one coming, did you? Didn't see that one coming.
No, I don't think any of us did.
The only problem you've got is that it says here on transfer market, he hasn't...
No penalties and none taken. Unbelievable. It's 100% record.
I know. It's frightening, isn't it? Absolutely terrifying.
Tony, if you could give us your ratio from penalties, because you have played football in the past, if you could let me know now if I've made a huge mistake, I'd appreciate it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, we all know you've made a huge mistake, but it's a funny one, so we'll go with it. It's fine.
There we go. There we go. See, the temptation is just to call him up now and just ask him. Not going to, but I could. The potential is there. Wow, there you go. Well, that's you've stolen mine. You haven't at all. Right. So my next player, is technically one of two goalkeepers I've got in the team. I've got two goalkeepers in my penalty taking list. My next player. We briefly mentioned this at the start of podcast. My favorite ever YouTube video, and I watch it at least once a day. There's a video on YouTube of a man by the name of Kevin Pressman taking a penalty in an FA Cup replay against Wolverhampton Wanderers. Kevin Pressman, former Sheffield Wednesday goalkeeper, stout fellow, my goodness, there was a lot of him, took, for my money, the greatest penalty kick ever taken. It is sensational. He just puts his laces through it and puts it exactly in the top corner. And the ball hitting the net makes the sound the ball normally makes when a ball hits a post. It hit it that hard. It's a miracle he didn't put a hole in the back of the net. Honestly, Kevin Pressman, at my number four, if you think Graham Alexander put his foot through a penalty, Kevin Pressman makes Graham Alexander look like he was Panenka-ing everything. He just wellied it, and it was sublime. I love Kevin Pressman with an absolute passion. And again, I've had him on Retro FM Saves. Thank you to the Mad Scientist. There he is at the door. He's wonderful. He's absolutely phenomenal. I love Kevin Pressman with a deep passion in my heart that will never die. I absolutely adore the man. And he is my number four penalty taker. What a boy. You can't say much fairer than that. The commentator says you could have had two goalkeepers and they still wouldn't have saved it. Three. You could have had four goalkeepers in there. You could have sellotaped somebody to the crossbar in that top corner and the ball still would have carried him in. Unless it was another Kevin Pressman, and then maybe you had a chance, but there's only one, literally only one Kevin Pressman. Hence the song nobody ever sang about him. Kev.
Yes.
You're number five. Please and thank you, mate.
So I have had a bit of a change of heart on this one, because if you'd have asked me this a couple of weeks ago, my choice would have been Mitrovic, mm-hmm. because he's currently been leading my line for Fulham in the network save, and somehow we are in the top two or three of the Premier League, and I still don't know how, but we are, and we're doing very well. But the reason it's changed is because most recently, Mitrovic, whose contract is ending next summer, has been refusing to talk to me about a deal. And ultimately, at the January transfer window, I got received an offer from Everton for him that I felt I couldn't turn down because he wasn't talking to me about a new deal. And he was like 31 years old. So I had to sell him. So he's now dead to me, because he's ruined my title chances potentially. If I can't get a good replacement in and get him to score goals immediately, it's all Mitrovic's fault. So I've got a ready-made excuse. So it's not going to be him now. But I do want to mention somebody from the network save, because we're doing stupidly well and I don't understand how. So I'm going to go for Moukoko, because Moukoko came in for me first season with Fulham, and Jeb's immediately gone to transfer market to look at
I don't know what his penalty facts are at all. Callum's already there, so yeah, fair enough.
But Moukoko came in first season on loan from Borussia Dortmund, and he played up front alongside Mitrovic and looked really good. Second season with Fulham, I decided I needed to change my tactical setup a little bit because I felt I was too open for people to score goals against me. So I took out one of those two strikers and put him into midfield and played 4-3-3, which meant that I really didn't have a spot for Moukoko. And he went back to Dortmund, having been on loan, and kind of didn't seem to be interested anyway. And then I had this thought that, in the new tactical setup, what I really want is at least one of my two wide men to be that inside forward and be a goal scorer more than anything else. And I just had that thought of, I wonder what would happen if I played Moukoko on the right. He's left-footed. He's not necessarily designed to be a right-sided player, really. He's a central striker, as pretty much we all know. But I've been playing him out there for a couple of seasons on that wide right-hand side. And along with Saul Bakken on the left, who's done very well in supporting the play and creating those, Moukoko's getting goals. He's doing really well out there. And, you know, along with Mitrovic, who was my main goal threat this season, pretty much, I think he's been phenomenal. And he's obviously pretty adaptable. And I think even at a young age, I'd back him. So he's going to be my last penalty kick taker, Moukoko.
Oh, I like that. I like that a lot. He has been really, really good for you in the network save. I've got to say, he's, for me, one of the best signings any of us have made. I think he's been absolutely fantastic. What I really, really liked is that if you've not been watching our network save, after Kev bought him in on loan and there was talk of, oh, maybe he'll come back permanently next year, the first person to quash those rumours was Kev. No, absolutely not. There's no way. We're not signing Moukoko. No, we're not. We're definitely not signing Moukoko. There he is secretly behind this. I'm just going to put a bid for Moukoko here. Every time we do the network save, every time Kev mutes himself for a couple of minutes, he's doing something sneaky. Like putting bids in for Moukoko, and it never pops up. It never pops up in the news feed either when he's doing those things.
Nope.
So he's maybe I need to start muting my microphone when I start putting
sneaky
offers. Yeah, dead sneaky. Right then, I love that five. Jeb, who's your last penalty taker? Who have you got?
I'm going for somebody who's phenomenal at all set pieces.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Somebody South American, somebody passionate, somebody who Football Manager legend.
Mm-hmm.
He's a goalkeeper as well.
Mm-hmm.
Jose Luis Chilavert is coming to step up.
That's phenomenal.
Yep. Now we're talking.
He only missed one penalty in his career. We looked it up. So yeah, Chilavert is coming in. He's going to take that fifth penalty. He's going to probably smash it into the top corner. But he's not going to be my goalkeeper. I'm just going to play him outfield in the game or just bring him on almost like special teams. He's not going to be my actual goalkeeper. So he's going to come in. He's going to do the job that we need him to. And he's going to smash that into the top corner to make it five penalties scored for us.
Obviously.
Yeah.
Obviously.
Oh, that is a pick. I like that.
That is very good.
Pick.
He's
a Looney Tune, let's face it.
It's the first one that I'm genuinely angry that I didn't think to put in my team. Like, honestly. Because, again, I had him last year on the year before. So I had him in a retro database save. The first signing I made, because I wanted it, I had him on all set pieces, I had him on penalties, and I had him on free kicks, because he used to take those as well. He missed every free kick spectacularly. I don't think he got a free kick over the wall in his first season because he used to drill it at the straight at them. He wasn't trying to lift it over the wall and dip it. He just put his foot through it. But penalties, generally speaking, very, very good. He was also a woeful goalkeeper. I think we conceded something like 74 or 75 goals in his first season. And then sold him halfway through season two to Liverpool, who we played next, and we put four or five past him. So that felt very, very nice. We enjoyed that. Oh, Chilavert has a great shout, though. Very, very good. Callum, your final penalty taker, if you will.
My final penalty taker is also my goalkeeper. I've overlapped them because, I mean, there's been a real lack of Slough on this list, and I couldn't not have a Slough penalty taker in there. Declan Moore obviously comes to mind. He was actually not very good at penalties, but he scored a lot of goals, but he wasn't the best penalty taker in the world. So I didn't go for old double deckers, but I have gone for Slough's goalkeeper for my last save. And that man is Caleb Anson. He's an Italian 6'6" goalkeeper who's coming through the Norwich youth system, which is not normal. I don't usually think you've got Italian 6'6" goalkeepers coming through the Norwich youth system, but he is one of those. He was exceptional at saving and scoring penalties. It was really, really good. It was a running joke. You know, when you're streaming, people love seeing you putting a goalkeeper on penalties. But more often than not, Caleb did put it in the back of the net. And there was one penalty shootout in particular that comes to mind for me, where I can't remember what trophy it was in, but he I always put him on the first penalty in a penalty shootout. So he scored the first penalty. You know, the mind games are in action already. He stepped up for the first one. Then he goes and stands up for his first one to face, and he saves it. Then we score again. Then he saves the next one. Then we score again. Then he saves the next. He scored the first penalty and then went on to save the next three. I mean, absolutely remarkable. I've never seen a keeper do that before on Football Manager. And so that's why my final pick would be Caleb Anson.
Nice.
Solid. Solid. Can't fault a bit. 6'6", Italian, doesn't sound Italian at all, from Norwich. He just sounds made up. He just doesn't sound real. But the legend of Caleb Anson will live on forever. Solid. Solid pick.
He's actually really good in this year's game as well. They've really given him an up. They've obviously watched my save, I assume.
They've
really given him an upgrade this year. He's worth like £7 million. I never would have touched him if he was worth that much. I got it for free last year.
For nothing. For £0.
Yep.
What a player. I like that five. I like it a lot. My final penalty taker. I've gone boring. I've gone for a arguably quite boring man. But I tell you what, he was good at a penalty. And another one that I'm surprised hasn't come up yet. Hop on Transfer Market, check out the stats, but I think they're going to be mostly in his favour. Big Alan Shearer. I mean, you just can't fault Big Alan Shearer, can you? The hand goes up, off he goes. Hey, I've done a penalty. Because that's what he sounds like. That's a flawless Shearer impersonation. Absolutely incredible Shearer I can pull off. He was just dead good at them. And in my number five spot, again, crunch penalty might be the one that you need to win you the game. Alan Shearer is the man to score, isn't he? He's not missing. We all knew that, generally speaking, he was going top left. That was his favourite play. That was his favourite penalty. But again, very, very rarely saved. The amount of times you'd see it on Match of the Day and, you know, Newcastle, Blackburn, whoever he was at the time, win a penalty. And the keeper's already started moving, like midway through his run-up, because he knows where he's putting it. He's gone the right way and he still can't get a hand to it because he's just so good at them. So big, boring Alan Shearer is my final penalty taker. I mean, those are the five. But, however, three of us, because Callum's doubled up, and even though, interestingly, two of us have already picked a goalkeeper, our goalkeepers aren't playing in goal for these. There needs to be somebody stood opposite the players trying to keep these penalties out. Kev, who have you got in net trying to save the penalties from all of these world-class penalty takers and Wout Weghorst?
So on my Twitch stream, there used to be and will never be again a redemption on the channel points where you could pick a player for my first team 11. It was a stupid idea that the viewers absolutely loved and abused at every opportunity, and I hated every second of it, and it's never coming back again. But it did create one particular clip that is very, very fun to watch. Now, Viva, who I know all of us know in and around the Twitch streams, shout out to Viva. Mm-hmm. He is very lovely, very supportive. He redeemed this particular channel points redemption, and he put my reserve goalkeeper up top in an important game in my save. And my reserve goalkeeper, who was pretty dreadful as a goalkeeper in a lot of ways, subsequently scored a brilliant goal. And there's a clip about it on my channel because I went a bit loopy going, send it to Viva, send it to Viva, because he wasn't in at the time. So go check that out. Scarpness. Can't even remember what his first name is. Scarpness. Rubbish second tier goalkeeper. Scored a goal for me. And I think actually was put up front a couple of times and assisted a couple of times as well. So he's probably a better striker than he is a goalkeeper. He is going to be in goal for all of my penalties. We are going to pray he gets one right somehow, but he'll score one if need be as well. So there you go. There's my goalkeeper, Scarpness.
Perfect. perfect. Send it to Viva immediately. Everyone likes everyone. We all know Viva. Friend of the streams, friend of the podcast, Viva. Hopefully he enjoys that pick. I think he'd approve of it. I think he would. Jeb, your goalkeeper. Who have you got?
I'm going to make this nice and quick because I want to get round to this wildcard pick. Igor Akinfeev. That's all I need to say. Everyone knows who he is. Everyone knows how phenomenal he was in former FMs. That's it.
Don't need to say much more, do you? Big Igor, he was wonderful. Absolutely wonderful. I'm similarly, Callum, we already know yours. Caleb Anson, he's taking penalties. He's also saving them, possibly at the same time. Somehow he's got it in his locker. Similarly to Jeb, I'm going to say a name who I think, and feel free to transfer market this one, boys, I think he is the most successful penalty saving goalkeeper of all time. Again, a favorite of mine in former FMs. Everyone signed him, everyone's used him in draft at some point as well. Samir Handanovic, absolutely huge, saved a ridiculous amount of penalties. So yeah, absolutely phenomenal. I think he saved something like, I think it's close to 40% of all the penalties he faced in his career. So, you know, if I've got him in net, doesn't matter who you guys are putting up against him, he's pretty much statistically, he's saving two penalties. So yeah, Handanovic is my shout. There was one additional player that I allowed the FM team to pick. Our wild card player. So if we found ourselves in a situation where it had to go to sudden death penalties, and you could pick one person to take your sudden death penalty. The lads had a choice of literally anybody ever. You know, if you remember from our Deadly Kings League, you know, my choice was Danny DeVito. Any excuse to get the cushion back out. Hi, Danny. You were my goalkeeper in Deadly Kings League, and you were so happy, weren't you, Danny? I was, Charlie. See, thank you, Danny.
Oh, dear.
Everything's fine at home. I don't know why people keep asking. Kev.
Yes.
Hello.
I will take over, shall I? That's fine.
Who have you got, pal? Please stop me talking.
Right. Okay. So either I've had a really, really bizarre fever dream, and I'm not talking about anything to do with this podcast currently, or there is an advert out there in the UK which Haaland was part of, and it's not Haaland, just so you know. Mm-hmm. But within the advert, somehow he took a shot at goal. But just before he took the shot at goal, he did a backflip and caught the ball as he re-landed, having done the backflip, and it was at such high velocity that it flew into the back of the net. I want someone to recreate that. And so I was racking my brains as to who I thought I could give that task to for an afternoon, and they could come up with the perfect version of it. I'm going Jackie Chan, because I think he's capable of doing the physicality of it. And if he makes any contact with that ball afterwards, it's going to be a bonus. But if he does, blimey, that's going to fly. And so I'm going Jackie Chan for the backflip penalty kick. I reckon he can do it.
If there's a man who can, it's Jackie Chan. Mm-hmm. Let's be honest. That sounded lovely. I enjoyed that. That was a nice sentence to say. Plus, as well, not only would it be incredibly impressive if he scored it, I'd also really enjoy like the 5 minutes of outtakes of him trying it as the credits rolled totally. After the penalty shootout. That would be really, really nice. Yeah, Chris Tucker's there as well for some reason. Chris Tucker is also somehow involved, just from the bylines, cheering him on. Go on, Jackie. Can't remember what Chris Tucker sounds like, so we're going with that. I think that was it.
Yeah, I think that's
a flawless Chris Tucker. I'm on fire today. Yeah. My DeVito, my Schwarzenegger, my Chris Tucker, all of them flawless. Audio listeners would be like, God, they've really got the good guests on this week, haven't they? Sounds like they're all there. This is quite incredible. And for the audio listeners, yes, we have. It's all fine. Jeb, can you top Jackie Chan?
Yes. So we're down to sudden death. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. We need somebody with a bit of passion, maybe a bit of anger about them.
Mm-hmm.
This person's going to be taking their run up from the halfway line.
Okay.
And he's taking the run up from the halfway line. He's just going like that as he's running because he's G'ing up the crowd. It's Jurgen Klopp. Jurgen Klopp is just going full angry Jurgen Klopp face, fist pump in the ground just to get them going again, and he's going to smash it into the top corner. I think it's
with his
perfect
with
choice.
His gritted, weirdly square teeth. Like,
yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. All the way. Doing that thing, trying to G up the crowd as it comes. Might not work if we're shooting into the away end, but we'll see. No. It might just G up them even more. I don't know. But yeah, that's it all the way. And yeah, that's it. And because he's doing that fist bumping action, he'll actually get over the ball and just put it into the bottom corner. He's not skying anything.
He's not. He's absolutely not. I mean, obviously a former pro footballer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, is there anybody who's have we got Jurgen Klopp? Did he even take a penalty? He doesn't look like the kind of person that, like, you know, from, you know, just in the middle of a game, you're like, oh, I've got this, lads, don't worry, I'm gonna be okay, and then runs from the halfway line furiously. I like it, though. I like it. I'd be intimidated if I saw that rain towards me.
100% penalty record as well.
100% penalty
record. One taken, one scored.
Hey, you can't improve on perfection. That's exactly all I can say. Exactly. Callum, who have you got, buddy? Who's your wild card penalty taker?
So naturally I was thinking about tennis pundits, because why wouldn't you? And of course, you know,
naturally
I thought, who would be the best tennis pundit to take a penalty? And how can you look any further than someone who would, without a doubt, put her foot through it? It would go rifling somewhere. It might go in the goal, it might not. And that is Claire Balding. I think Claire Balding would be an excellent choice as my sudden death penalty taker. I can't see her missing, honestly. I think I would have so much confidence. Like, what I don't want to see from a sudden death penalty is the sort of flamboyant run up where they're jumping all over the place, and there's a walk and it's a skip, and I don't want to see that. I want to see someone, you know, edge of the box, head down, running, toe poking it, and it's just flying somewhere. And that's what Claire Balding would do. Excellent choice. Well done, me.
Claire Balding tennis. Sorry.
She is tennis, isn't she?
No, it's horse racing.
She's definitely done tennis.
She's presented everything.
Yeah, she's tennis. That sport where the horses, they all run alongside each other. Yeah, tennis.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And then the
tennis players have a smaller tennis player on their back as they go. Like, that's the one, isn't it?
Am I thinking of Sue Barker? Yeah, I am. But I did want to pick Claire Balding, though. So I've just got the sport wrong, to be clear. I don't want Sue Barker taking my turn.
Oh,
wow.
I've seen her hosting Wimbledon at one point, but it was probably Sue Barker. It was
Barker and Balding together again.
Can I have them both? Honestly. Can I have them
both?
Absolutely,
yeah, absolutely you can. You can have them both. You can have them both. Of course you can.
I think Claire Balding presents the daily roundup show for Wimbledon.
Thank you. I knew she was on tennis. Oh, thanks, Kev.
You're welcome, Callum.
Thanks, Kev.
Rich,
nicely.
Hello.
How do you follow that one, Rich? Which tennis pundit are you choosing?
Good night, everybody. Right. So for mine,
famous football, Bill Beaumont. Is that who you're going for?
Yes. I'm going for famous match of the day presenter Rylan. That's my shout. No. I am going for, I think it's only fitting, it's sudden death, arguably the biggest game in world football. I'm going for the redemption song. Because when you think about your high profile penalty misses throughout footballing history, obviously you've got the likes of, you've got your Gareth Southgates, you've got your Stuart Pearces, you've got your Roberto Baggio's. You've got, you know, was it Asamoah Gyan who missed for Ghana? Against Uruguay, yeah, these huge moments in world football, and I know where this is going. You know exactly where this is going, don't you?
Yeah.
Is it because with the clues, I've had to check if this person's alive twice.
No,
I have just checked. This person is still alive. I'm giving my sudden death penalty to the person who missed arguably the highest profile penalty in world football ever, Diana Ross. Diana Ross is stepping up. Redemption for that absolutely howling miss in the opening ceremony of the 94 World Cup. Because since then, Diana Ross has had a full-scale football pitch built in one of her many back gardens. And she has been training penalties for 5 hours a day for the last 30 years. Diana Ross is motivated. Diana Ross is ready. And Diana Ross is going to do exactly what she did in the opening ceremony and just miss hit it and side foot it. And it's going to go 3 yards to the left. And then the goal's going to split apart. And then she's just going to jog off with her head slightly down. But I just want to see it happen again. I want to see it happen again. Diana Ross gets that penalty. I think, personally, that's a great shout. What do you think, Danny DeVito? Oh, it's a great pick, Charlie. Thanks, Danny. Thank you. I think it's...
Do I just need to do this to interrupt him, to stop him?
I never thought I would start a podcast shiny. And then end a podcast with my head in my hands. But somehow you've managed it, Rich.
Oh, Kev, you are welcome. You are very, very welcome. Well, there you go, audience. There's our penalty takers. Those are the greatest penalty-taking lineups in the history of world football. What I'd like you to do now, audience, is decide amongst yourselves who has come up with the best. Because we've had some absolute blinders there. Some absolute blinders.
Callum's trying to backtrack it.
Callum is backtracking in the Discord, just links to Claire Bolden hosting.
She led it this year. She led the coverage.
On the back of a horse. It was Sue Barker. It was always Sue Barker. So there you go, lads. So what we'll do, we're going to put a poll up on Twitter because they always go brilliantly. And you can vote for who you think of the four of us has come up with the best penalty taking just group. The best list of penalty takers there. I think it's hard to choose. It's hard to choose. But, you know, I've got Diana Ross in mind. So you be the judges. You be the judges. Lads, I reckon that's probably a podcast. What do you think, fellas?
Let's call it. Absolutely. Definitely.
Yeah. Let's call it before it just gets the pillow comes out
again.
Yeah. Before the pillow comes back out. He's coming. I've thrown him out of arm's reach now. I can't be bothered to lean. It's a long, I might fall out my chair. Nobody wants to see that. But they
all want to see
it. Really
that.
Want to see that. That's why you should watch on YouTube as well as listen. Before we go, lads, before we go, first of all, I'd just like to say it's been an absolute pleasure to spend my time with you this afternoon. I've really, really enjoyed it. It's been an absolute treat. And in fact, for the last year as well, because this has been our first full calendar year as an FM team. So it's genuinely, lads, it's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you all. I've really, really enjoyed it.
Thank you.
Thanks.
No, thank you.
Thanks.
No, thank you.
No, thank you, Kev.
No. Oh, boys, come on.
Okay, sorry, everybody. Sorry. Right, just before we go, I think it's only fair we can start, you know, just tell the people where, if we get the opportunity to do any streaming kind of over the Christmas holidays, which we are all now on, where you can find us doing it. Callum, we'll start with you, buddy, because you are a multi-platformed man these days.
I am, and I was actually going to bring that up. I'm struggling more and more to do streams at the moment. So I have started doing YouTube, but I tend to win on YouTube. So if you want to go,
Steve's coming.
Ruin my flow. I'm Y Callum over there on YouTube as well. If you could hop over to there and subscribe, it's not like Twitch when you subscribe and you have to pay money. It's free on YouTube. That's a continuation of my Bill Slough save, where if you haven't watched any of it yet, which I, you know, don't apologize, it's fine, honestly. If you haven't watched any of it yet, there's like a first season update on there, which I put up a couple of days ago. So then you can get straight into the story and straight into the narrative. But yeah, Y Callum everywhere.
Perfect. Get on it. Good content. Jeb, what about you? Where can Twitch, people find you?
Twitch.tv/Jebaroo. Morecambe's going all right. Marcus Dacker's Quackers is unbelievably good. Oh, and I've sacked Marco van Basten. But anyway, right.
Because of course you have, because that's a completely normal thing that would happen.
Exactly.
Marco van Basten sacked by Morecambe. Imagine that headline.
Yeah, exactly.
Don't have to. Can live it on Jeb streams. Mm-hmm. Go watch Jeb streams. Good streams. Just the fact that Carlton Palmer and Alan Rickman are there quite a lot. It makes me very happy. Kev, what about you, buddy? Where can people find you doing the streaming?
Yeah, you can find me on Twitch at the United City FM. I'm going to be back this week, Wednesday through Friday, having had a couple of days off for the Christmas break. So I'll be streaming this week. Can I give a shout out for Thursday afternoon specifically? If anybody's around Thursday afternoon, got a few hours free and wants to play in my United City community draft, I don't know what the stipulations are going to be yet. I haven't figured that one out, but we're going to be doing that on Thursday afternoon. So keep an eye out for that. There'll be like 7 places available to come and join me in draft for the afternoon. If you're free, come and do so.
Perfect. Please do. Please do. A United City community draft is a many splendid thing to be part of. As for me, twitch.tv/RichOwensFM. I can't specifically tell you when I'm going to be streaming over Christmas, but I'm going to try and squeeze a few in. Come and hang out. We're doing What's the Story, Former Glory. We've got Saint-Étienne into Ligue 1 at the first time of asking. We've done most of a transfer window. And we're going to play some league games, and hopefully it's going to go okay. And you're more than welcome to come and hang out with me as I do so. Yes, Jeb.
Network say we will be returning on Thursday evening, and I'm bringing a special guest with me. So, you know.
Is it Carlton Palmer?
No, it's not Carlton Palmer. He's going to be there. Alan's going to be there. Lee's going to be there. But yeah. Luke, should I say, Lee Chadwick. No, Luke Chadwick.
That memorable.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, somebody else will be joining us this week.
Cool.
Oh, there you go. Thursday night, come and see. Special guest. It's going to be good. Lads, there you go. That wraps up a podcast. So I think we should probably go now. So thank you for watching or listening to another episode of Football Manager Therapy. We appreciate you. Have a really, really lovely Christmas. Have a really, really good new year. We will see you really, really, really soon. Take care. Love you lots. Bye, everybody.
Merry Christmas.
Bye.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.